Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All right, thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. You are listening to a special studio session. I'm your host, Erin Fairbanks. As always, we are coming to you live from the back of Roberta's Pizza in beautiful and today very sunny Bushwick, Brooklyn. And we are in-house with another kind of pizza legend. We're super excited to have John Adler, the executive chef of Franny's, joining us. John, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
So we brought you in today because we want to talk a little bit about the growth of Franny's over the course of their lifetime. In particular, though, we're curious, you know, you guys opened the same year that the Ratner Group proposed the Barclay Center, and now you're steps away from the Barclay Center. So I'm so curious to hear kind of about how that opening has been impacting the business, but also the process of all the controversy that surrounded it before it opened. But before we tuck into all that juicy stuff, we should probably get a little bit better sense of who you are and where you're coming from. So, executive chef at Franny's, awesome, great job.
Thank you very much.
What can you give us a little bit of your background and when you came into the Franny's family?
Sure. I was lucky enough to be brought on originally as sous chef in the spring of 2008. That was following 2 years I spent at Per Se and some months I spent apprenticing abroad. And prior to that, I was in the kitchen with Michael Anthony and Dan Barber right at the opening of Blue Hill at Stone Barns, which was an amazing place to be. And while I was, the way I ended up at Franny's, I moved to Brooklyn in 2006. And at the time, I was working with a guy at Per Se named Daniel Amond, who's my co-chef now and will be the eventual executive chef of Marco's, which is something we can talk about later.
Ooh.
But Danny and I were station partners, and he left Per Se before me and ended up at Franny's, and I would go and eat there, and he would sort of tempt me, and he'd say, come on, come be my sous chef. You'll be so much happier here. You won't be so stressed out all the time, which was true. And eventually, after about a year and a half, we started serious discussions, and I joined the team in 2008, and it's been a fantastic ride ever since.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. One of the things I love about the Franny's story, aside from my deep love for their pizza, obviously, is it seems to be like a real collection of people from throughout the New York cooking industry. I mean, I know that the owners, Andrew and Francine, actually met at Savoy, a restaurant near and dear to my heart, and kind of fell in love before opening Franny's. So give us a little bit of sense, because I know you do know the history. Back in 2003, when they first found the space, I mean, Flatbush did not look like what it looked like today. What's the storyline?
I mean, you know, the thing about Francine and Andrew, first and foremost, is they're people who have a vision and stick to it, and it's what has defined their businesses so far, and I think what will continue to define their businesses. And they found a space. They knew they wanted to do a brick oven. In conversations with their family members, they decided to do pizza, which was a risk. And Andrew worked tirelessly to develop the pizza at Franny's to what it is today. And we continue to work on it to perfect it. And it opened April 13th, 2004. And it sort of, you know, as it was, Park Slope and Prospect Heights were up-and-coming areas for young professionals, for couples looking for a little bit more space. And so they opened a restaurant targeted to that market, to people who had a little bit of money to spend, but not a ton, who didn't want to get too dressed up and who wanted a delicious neighborhood restaurant to go to. And that was the outset. And as the restaurant developed and their family grew, Franny moved off the floor but is still there every day involved in the day-to-day operations. Andrew brought on a sous chef and then eventually stepped out of the kitchen so he could be a business owner. And you know, and really for a while, still had day-to-day control over the menu, or at least input. And that was, and that's true up until very, very recently. And they just continue to develop the business and to expand the team and develop a core of people, which is where we are at now, where we can actually grow the restaurants.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you visit their website, franniesbrooklyn.com, you can definitely peruse the many accolades. I mean, in a lot of ways, Franny's was really one of the first restaurants, I think, in Brooklyn that led to a little bit of that reverse commute, where you had folks from Manhattan trekking out to try some of the pizza, and then, of course, the delicious, small plates. So I'm curious, after the Barclay Center project was proposed in 2004, it was followed by a ton of not so fun stuff. Multiple lawsuits, use of eminent domain. There was a real community groundswell against the center. But then they broke ground. Then it happened. They broke ground in 2010. You'd been at Franny's for a bit at that point. Can you talk a little bit about, in your early years at Franny's, was that a thing that was in the consciousness of the restaurant, or were you guys just like busy making pizzas?
I mean, we're part of the community, so it's always anything happening around us is in the consciousness of the restaurant, whether it be a proposed business opening down the street or some horrible crime that happened nearby. I mean, everything around us is something that we talk about. And when the Barclay Center broke ground, one of the things that was discussed was concessions. And is that something that Franny's wants to get involved in? And Danny and myself were really on the periphery of that, but we knew it was being discussed. It's not our business. And so those decisions would be something that we would be party to once they were made. But ultimately, we moved away from that, and we moved out of those discussions because a concession stand is not necessarily what we're about. We're not to say that people who are doing concessions at the Barclay Center right now are at all, in a different class. I mean, there are some amazing.
Just wasn't a good fit for you.
Just
guys.
Wasn't a great fit. Yeah. And we cook four pizzas at a time. It would be crazy for us to say, okay, well, we're going to start cooking 16 or 20 pizzas at a time. It's not our model.
Yeah, and you'd probably be like more like 50 pizzas at a time.
Yeah, I mean they estimated 2,500 pies a day, and that's wonderful on one end, maybe financially speaking, but on the other end, we've seen some people go through concession deals that didn't go very well, and we sort of wanted to steer clear of that.
Did you guys take a stance pro or against the center at any point during the process?
As far as I know, and I was never privy to any official statement made by Francine or Andrew, and that's not something that they would necessarily get involved in. I think that privately there were discussions in the restaurant about how people felt, but you sort of have to, if you're a business in the area, you have to ride the tide of what is happening. So to fight against it and then end up on the wrong side of the line or of the fight is fine from a moral standpoint, and I'm not questioning anybody's stances, but from a business standpoint, it might not be the best idea.
Sure.
And for us, it's important that if we're going to be a restaurant that is important and that people visit, we need to exist. And I think that Francine and Andrew are great at leading from that point of practicality.
Sure. So then, this is still kind of pre-opening of the center, but obviously Franny's, tons of accolades right out of the gate, really working hard to, I think, continue to be a neighborhood destination spot, and grew a little bit in 2009 with the opening of Brooklyn Larder. And so were you involved in that process at all, or what was the impetus, and what is the Larder for folks who might not be familiar?
So the Brooklyn Larder is our provision store. And when I say provisions, I mean prepared foods, dry goods, gourmet products, and particularly an amazing cheese program. Francine and Andrew, one of the earliest managers at Franny's is a man named Sergio Hernandez, who is currently their partner and co-owner at the Brooklyn Larder. And they contacted Sergio after he'd left Franny's. He'd moved to Vermont. And they said, we think we want to open a cheese shop, and we'd like it to be with you. And Sergio came back to Franny's, and they continued the discussion, and so the Larder was born. you know, we were involved in it at the end of on the Franny's end of things because it's a sister business. There was a lot of recipe testing happening at Franny's for the Larder. One of our cooks at the time, Travis Post, was the original executive chef there. So he left Franny's to go open the Larder. And we rely heavily on each other, and we work very closely together. Any day that I'm at Franny's, I'm also at the Larder checking in on things. We order things through each other. There's a certain amount of cooperation between the kitchens. And, you know, the Larder has become an amazing source for the community, for catering, for, like I said, you know, gourmet products. I mean, I rarely will have friends over for dinner without going to the Larder and buying some salumi and some cheese, and maybe even, if I'm feeling very lazy, pastry and gelato and things like that. And now with the e-commerce on the website, where you can buy anything in the store off the Brooklyn Larder website, the business has really expanded.
It's funny, you know, so Travis just opened a spot, right?
Yes, Yunnan Kitchen on the Lower East Side. It's fantastic.
I was thinking, like, you know, as you're mentioning that, thinking about some other former Franny's staffers. I'm thinking of Bark, the other business that was kind of opened by former Franny's staffers, like kind of much in the spirit of Savoy, where chefs and cooks go on to kind of do their own kind of cool things. Franny's has really become a similar kind of breeding ground, if you will, for innovative and exciting young chefs. All right, so you guys have the two businesses. They're across Flatbush from one another. You know, last September, Jay-Z's kicking it off, open it up at the Barclays Center. I mean, what happened for you guys?
Well, there were some people who came to the Larder to buy cheese for backstage, which was very exciting.
Nice. You're like, we're serving Jay-Z. What kind of cheese does Jay-Z want?
I wasn't Damn. There that day. I don't have any of that information. I do know that somebody came by to buy some cheese for him or for his guests. And on a very personal level, it would be a dream come true to have the opportunity to cook dinner for him.
Jay-Z, if you're listening, the chef of Franny's will come to your house and cook dinner at any time. You can reach him through Heritage Radio Network. So give us a call, 718-497-2128.
Thank you. That would be great. You know, that weekend, I don't know that I will ever forget it. It was so, one, it was very exciting. I mean, there's just an amazing energy when something of that scale opens, but also when someone at the level of Jay-Z is playing his hometown. I mean, that's just, you could feel it. You could see it in people's faces. You could see the merchandising. Everyone's wearing the Brooklyn Nets hat, and everyone's wearing the hoodies, and everyone was just very excited about it. But I think the first concert was a Friday night, and we all knew, you know, we expected a rush. That was an insane rush. And I think that it was a sharp learning curve over the course of that weekend of how fortunate we were to be that close to the Barclays Center. And also, you know, what the expectations of people were going to be, and what, how we needed to adjust their expectations or react to them. And it was a very, very intense weekend. It was very exciting.
Oh man. Well, I want to talk a little bit more into life beyond that weekend, but we are going to take a moment for a short break. If you've just tuned in, we're in the studio with John Adler, executive chef of Franny's. Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to IDID by Obesity on heritageradionetwork.org.
International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org, the ICC with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
All right, big ups to our sponsor, the ICC. You are listening to a studio session on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm in studio with John Adler, executive chef of Franny's. So Barclays Center opened, craziest weekend ever. Things are going bananas. Obviously, you guys were anticipating a rush. The rush happened. Was it bigger than you thought it was going to be, or was it just about as crazy as you had planned for?
I would say it was bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, you know, it was, there are days where we know we're really, you know, it's going to be amazing. Like Memorial Day is traditionally one of our best days because everybody is off. We're open for lunch all day. So we're open from, you know, noon to 11. Though everyone's sort of celebrating. It's the beginning of summer.
Yeah. You guys have a beautiful backyard.
Right. You know, and so Memorial Day is great. And, Jason Hegedis, who is one of our cooks and will actually be a sous chef when we move the restaurant across the street, is looked at me and he said, "Oh my God, this makes Memorial Day look like a cakewalk." You just couldn't really see through the restaurant.
Yeah.
And that's very intense and it's very challenging when you're in a space when there's nowhere to hide because we're an open kitchen. But we have an amazing staff, an amazing management team, and when we looked at the numbers at the end of the weekend, you know, a 52-seat restaurant served almost 850 people in 3 days.
Yikes.
And everyone, and, you know, with minimal issues, and everyone was feeling really good about it.
Yeah, I have to give a big shout out to the Michaela Slovenier sous chef, who I cooked with at Gramercy. She's pretty badass. So now I'm curious, you know, after that big weekend, obviously, you know, in some ways kind of your business is changed forever. Like you've always been a busy restaurant. It's always been hopping on Franny's. And, I'm curious, like with the scheduling of the Barclay Center, I mean, how do they communicate with restaurants or people in the area to let you know kind of scheduling stuff? How do you guys keep up on like what's going on there so you can, you know, plan and prepare in advance to anticipate those types of rushes?
Well, you know, one of the, you mentioned that Franny's has become a breeding ground and also a collection of amazing restaurant personalities. And I think one thing to mention and one thing to really, to not at all underplay is the degree to which that's as true in the front of the house as it is in the back. And we have two managers right now, Luca Pasquinelli and Martin Gobet, who are graduates of Babbo and Del Posto and Il Buco Alimentari. I mean, veterans, 20-year veterans of the industry. And so when things like this happen, they just say, okay, let's print out the schedule. You know, they went to the Barclays Center website, printed out the schedule. We have a separate calendar in the office with Barclays events, start times, whether or not there are opening acts for those events, whether or not there's, you know, it's a televised, like, you know, if it's national television, if it's TNT Sunday night basketball, it's a bigger deal than if it's just a regular Sunday afternoon game for the Nets. And then we immediately started tracking it on our end of night reports, always listing the event. And they, you know, within a month, they sort of had it down how to handle Barclays events, whether it was getting extra staff to work half a shift at the beginning or whether it was, you know, having family meal on the weekends a bit earlier because we knew we were going to have a pregame rush when we would normally be eating family meal. And they've been absolutely amazing at orchestrating how the restaurant navigates those days.
And how do you, in your role, kind of deal with it in the kitchen? Because obviously, you know, you have to have, you know, sauce prepped, dough prepped, you know, stuff in the larder, so to speak, to be ready to handle just literally putting out that much food. I mean, I'm sure that's adjusted, like, your purchasing.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, it's definitely adjusted our purchasing. You know, a restaurant of 52 seats is still a restaurant of 52 seats, and there's only so much food you can serve. But on pregame days, we make sure that we have a little extra pizza dough in our back pocket. We make sure that we have, if there's an extra set of hands to be had in the kitchen, even for a few hours, we take advantage of that. And we don't pre-prep anything. We don't change what we do. It's much more, if we have a dish that we serve at room temperature, and normally we have 6 orders out to start, we might have 10 orders out to start. If normally we have 24 balls of pizza dough ready to fire at 5:30, maybe we'll have 36 ready. So it's just small adjustments like that. And really, the communication from the front of the house has been amazing, which helps. It really helps Danny and I immensely.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, in some ways, like, you transition to one of the, I think, the service challenges, as well as a challenge, obviously, for the kitchen, is transitioning to something of like a pre-theater environment, where instead of Franny's being kind of like the event of the night, you're like the event before the event. So have you seen like an increase in like the time that people, you know, like the turning tables has probably sped up a little bit on those nights, or there's a pressure to do so? Or
yeah, I mean, I think it's more that there's a pressure to do so. And it's you know, I mentioned earlier adjusting people's expectations. I mean, there are some people who show up at 6:30 and they want to be out the door at 7:30, and there's a 30-minute wait for a table. And so we compromise with them. You know, we offer them standing room. We tell them that their best bet, if they do sit down at 7 and they want to be down at 7:30, is to order pizza, because the pastas are all cooked to order and they're dried noodles and they take 15 minutes. And so it's just managing people's expectations within that. There is definitely a pressure, like a pregame pressure, and we notice that with the Jay-Z concert, people coming in at 7 and they're being like, hey man, I just want some pies. I got to be at the show. And, you know, okay, well, we're doing our best to find a place to cook your food, but also for you to eat it. That's an ever changing, sort of, game. The Barbra Streisand crowd had a different set of expectations than the Justin Bieber crowd.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I know.
Well, speaking of changes, there's some big stuff on the horizon for you guys. You're moving into a new space,
yes.
Or tell us a little bit about what we can look forward to this spring.
So we're 4 to 5 weeks out from opening, essentially, you know, part of this was also the Barclay Center, which is wanting to be able to accommodate larger groups and meet the demand that is there. So we're moving to a larger space, 348 Flatbush Avenue, just a block and a half up, and there will be 79 seats upstairs, and then a 32-person private dining room.
Maybe you will get to cook for Jay-Z. Jay-Z, 32, you and 32 of your closest friends. John will make a special menu. It'll be delicious.
I hope so. Kobe Bryant was in the other week. That was pretty amazing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, you know, and there will be 2 pizza ovens, much larger kitchen. The private dining room will allow us the opportunity to take reservations for parties of 8 or more. It will also allow us to host, you know, people's events that they have been calling about, including closing dinners and birthday parties and anniversaries and rehearsal dinners and weddings and all of those things that until now we've had to say no to. It will give us a larger kitchen crew. It will allow us to do some things that we haven't had the space to do, get some homemade noodles on the menu, things like that. And then about 5 months down the line, the current Franny space will turn over. And Danny Amond, who's been my partner, or, you know, we've been partners for the last 5 years, Danny Amond will be the executive chef of Marco's. And Marco's will be a more traditional Italian trattoria. So you'll have antipasti, primi, and secondi. There'll be wood-burning grills, rotisserie, all fresh pastas, all handmade noodles. And where at Franny is, we try and focus on Southern Italian cuisine, sort of drawing a line at Rome and moving down. Marco's will really be pan-Italian, and it will be a little bit more flexible in its menu. And, you know, for the Barbra Streisand crowd that isn't interested in having pizza but having roast chicken, there will be Marco's. And hopefully Marco's will continue to benefit as much from the Barclay Center as Franny's has.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised there. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us today. And for folks out there, you can keep up with the latest and greatest by visiting them at frannysbrooklyn.com. Check out the new space in a couple of weeks and Marco's in a couple of months. And in the meantime, look at Barclay Center calendar. And when there's not an event, go to Franny's.
Thanks so much.
All right. This, like all 30 of our live weekly shows, are archived on the website, available as a free download through iTunes. And you can also find us on Stitcher Smart Radio. We are a nonprofit organization, so if you like what you hear, we hope you'll click that donate button and become a member today. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.